Please turn with me in your Bible then to Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. Reading from God's holy word. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, "In you all the nations shall be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Holy Spirit, truth divine, dawn upon this soul of mine, word of God and inward light. Wake my spirit, clear my sight. Dear Heavenly Father, may that be the prayer of each one of us in our heart of hearts as we look at your word of truth today. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. William Herschel lived from 1738 to 1822. As a young boy, he grew up in Hanover, Germany. And he loved listening to military music, eventually joined a military band. But when war broke out, as he was marching into one particular intense battle, he found himself totally unprepared for the horrors of war, and he went AWOL, absent without leave. Since the penalty for desertion was death, he fled to England. There he became a famous man. He was known throughout Europe for both his musical abilities and his scientific discoveries. William Herschel had seemingly left his past behind, and the nagging thought of a death sentence hanging over his head vanished. But then another German arrived in England, George. He was the head of Hanover, and he was crowned king. King George knew the secret of William Herschel's past and summoned him to appear before the royal court. With great fear, the renowned musician and scientist arrived at the royal court and was told to wait in a chamber outside the throne room. Finally, one of the king's attendants brought Herschel a document. With heart pounding, he opened it, and he read the following words: "I, King George, pardon you for your past offenses against our native land." The royal pardon William Herschel received, friends, was all of grace. There was nothing he had done to deserve it. His desertion was not overlooked, yet he was declared not guilty and therefore was justified in the sight of the law. So too with all the Old Testament saints: Abraham, Moses, Joshua, and David, all the New Testament saints, Peter, James, John, Paul, and including us who have put our faith in King Jesus, who is also our high priest. His priestly work is twofold. He continually intercedes for us day and night, 24/7, 365. This man, because he has a priesthood that does not change, it's forever, he's able to save them unto the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. Hebrews 7, 24 and 25. And Jesus, as our high priest, is also our sacrifice. He is our substitute, who shed blood on the cross, paid the price for our redemption, which is the means of our salvation. We've been justified by faith alone, grace alone, and by Christ alone. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 33, says, what is justification? The answer is, it's an act of God's free grace in which he pardons all our sins and accepts us as righteous in his sight only for the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. That is what the Apostle Paul is defending here in Galatians 3 and 4, the doctrinal section here in the Epistle to the Galatians. And he's doing so against the Judaizers' error. And they had said that to be justified, you had to believe in Jesus plus do the works of the law. Remember, we've said their slogan was Acts 15:1. Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. The question arises, was Paul's defense then of doctrine of justification by faith alone necessary? And we answer, yes, because the doctrine of justification answers that question, how then does a person get a right relationship with God? And the biblical answer to that is Christ plus nothing else for salvation. Whereas the Judaizers would say it's Christ plus the works of the law. The biblical way is saving faith, and that's to be heaven-bound. The Judaizer way is to be condemned, to be damned, and to be hell-bound. We remember what Luther said. The doctrine of justification is the doctrine on which the church stands or falls, and all the other doctrines flow from it. May God's Spirit give us a discerning mind today, a mind that's able to judge truth from error, a firm resolve to defend the truth against error. 1 Peter 3:17, we're to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and be ready always to give a defense for the faith that is in us, and to do so in meekness and fear. And may the Spirit also give us that boldness to proclaim the gospel. And remember, we've said many times over this pulpit, to be the gospel is two-pillared. To proclaim the crucifixion of Jesus, which is the victory over sin, and also to proclaim the resurrection of Jesus, which is the victory over death. You can't separate those two pillars. That is the gospel. And may we speak that in love. Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Follow along in the bulletin, the outline that's provided, as we look at the sermon title today, Are We Justified by Faith or Works? The first point is justification is by faith alone, and that's proved by Abraham in verses 6 and 7. The Apostle Paul here, after showing the Galatian believers from their spiritual experience, they were justified by faith and not the works of law. That's chapter 3, 1 through 5. Now he defends that doctrine from Scripture in verses 6 through 9. Look at verse 6 with me. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, the Judaizers took Abraham as their father by physical descent, and also by the example of faith. Abraham believed in Jesus for salvation. It says, Jesus said of him in John 8:56, that Abraham rejoiced to see his day. He saw it and was glad. But the Judaizers knew that Abraham was also circumcised according to the law of Moses. So they told the Galatian believers, you want to be saved then? Well, you believe in Jesus. That's fine. No problem. But you also must follow Abraham's example. As he was circumcised, you be circumcised, just as it says in the law of Moses. And Paul's response here, friends, was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. He went back to Abraham in Genesis 15:6, where Abraham says, or Abraham believed God and was counted him for righteousness. It states there that Abraham was justified by faith, not circumcision, which was according to the law of Moses, which in Abraham's day was not even given. Abraham lived approximately 1900 BC. Moses and the law was given in 1400 BC. Abraham believed God and was accounted him for righteousness. That's Genesis 15:6. And that preceded his being circumcised in Genesis 17 by at least 14 years. Abraham, as a 90-year-old man, was promised a child by God, that his descendants would be as numerous as the sand along the seashore and as the stars in the sky, and that all the families on the earth would be blessed through him. That's the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. And to be blessed through Abraham would be to receive the blessings of God, his love, grace, and his mercy for all those in Christ. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all the spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. chapter 2, 6 and 7 of Ephesians. He's raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Friends, you can list all the religions of the world: Judaism, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, Roman Catholicism, and the list can go on. They are all autosoteric. What does that mean? Self-salvation. It's all salvation by human works and by human merit. You go before God and you say, I've earned my salvation by what I have done. And they're no different than the Judaizers. They completely reverse the relationship between circumcision and salvation and justification and sanctification. Circumcision is an external physical mark of salvation. It's not the means or instrument of salvation, which is faith alone. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in him. We are saved by faith alone, but as the Reformers said, not by a faith that is alone. We are saved, and our faith, true saving faith, is a working faith. What's the relationship between Paul, the Apostle Paul, and James, the Epistle of James? You go to the epistles of Paul, and it tells us how to be saved. And you go to James, he'll say, well, because you're saved, then I'll show you my faith by my works. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Be not deceived. We are to obey the truth and walk in its light if we're truly saved. God gave the sign to Abraham of circumcision after he had already been saved by faith alone, believed in God, and God had declared him righteous. God declaring, believing Abraham righteous, friends, is the doctrine of justification. Christianity is the only religion in the world that is heterosoteric. What does that mean? Salvation by another. We are saved by the works of Jesus Christ alone. His merit. His merit alone. Not our works and not our merit. Philippians 3:9, and be found in him. You can write in your Bible by Philippians 3:9, the doctrine of justification. And be found in him, not having our own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. It's all in Christ. John Wesley said this: none can trust in the merits of Christ until we have renounced our own. Friend, the only thing that you and I have to bring to God is our sin. Have you been to Calvary? Have you been to the cross? Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened whole soul found liberty at Calvary. Look at verse 7. Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. This is a re-emphasis of verse 6. The only true sons of Abraham, those with true spiritual relationship to Abraham and the Lord Jesus Christ that are true believers in Jesus, are those of faith. Are those of faith. For us as Gentiles, God has not rejected the nation of Israel, the Jews, because of their unbelief. What did Paul say in the Epistle of Romans, chapter 11, 1 and 2? Has God cast away his people? Certainly not. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew or he foreloved. God will not completely cast away the Jews. You and I are observing what's happened since 1948 in the nation of Israel being founded, is they are being gathered in unbelief. But one day, as it says in Romans 11, they will see their deliverer and know their deliverer, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and accept him as Savior and Lord in masses. There's a believing remnant of Jews, even now. But friends, historically, no person in all of history has ever been brought to a saving relationship in Christ other than by faith alone, which is the channel of grace alone that connects us to the object of faith, which is Jesus Christ alone. Are we justified by faith or work? The first point is justification is by faith alone, and that's proved by Abraham. The second point is justification is by faith alone. That's proved by the Old Testament scripture, verses 8 and 9. Look at verse 8 with me. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. This is very important. When you look at the King James Bible, the old King James Bible, and you look at the Revised Standard Bible, scripture is not capitalized. It has a small s. You'll notice when you look at our New Authorized Version or the New King James Version we're using, it's capitalized. And in looking through the different translations, the NASB Bible, the English Standard Bible, the New International Version, the Living Bible, all these other versions, the scripture is capitalized. Why is it so important that scripture is capitalized here? Is because in verse 8, scripture is personified. Scripture is personified. You'll note in verse 8, scripture is speaking. And the quote is from Genesis 12:3, the Abrahamic covenant. And if you go to Genesis 12:3, you'll see that God speaks there to Abraham. So the scripture, capital S, is here equated with God. Psalm 138:2, God has magnified his word above his name. John Calvin says we owe to scripture the same reverence that we owe to God. The scripture that is quoted here is in the Old Testament. Just as a side note here, Galatians is the earliest of the New Testament epistles. Galatians was written in 49 A.D. The New Testament as a whole was written between 49 and the 90s A.D. It was canonized, that is, compiled as a list of the authoritative books around 150 A.D. That list included 11 books. In 180 A.D., we have what is called the Muratorium Canon. And the Muratorium Canon contained most of the New Testament books. But it was not until Origen in 254 A.D. that we have a complete list of all the 27 books of the Bible. The complete canon, then. The authoritative books of the New Testament. And you and I ask ourselves, why were they compiled? Well, they're compiled for you and I for one reason. So you and I have this written record. Written record. And also was compiled because as the church continued to spread over the then known world, so did the false teachers and all the false religions. And so what happened was it was written down so that you had an authoritative record then, rather than word of mouth, to get in the face of those that were propagating error and refute it. Verse 8 is an exposition then of Genesis 12:3, the Abrahamic covenant. All the nations, both Jews and Gentiles, are justified and blessed by God, just as Abraham was by faith alone. And verse 8 proves that justification by faith alone has always been God's plan for all people everywhere. So we ask ourselves the question, what should our response be? Our response be in receiving all these blessings of God and being justified is that we should bless him and praise his name. Psalm 34:1, bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times and praise him. Spurgeon says to bless God is to praise him with a personal affection for him and a wishing well to him. And everyone at Grace Baptist knows the definition of praise. We extol God's works, we extol God's attributes, and we thank him for both his works and his attributes. Look at verse 8. You'll see the word gospel there. Well, what does gospel mean? It means good news. Well, what's the good news? The good news is to be justified by faith and to have a right standing with God and to be declared righteous by God. That's the good news. But you see, for a Judaizer to be justified by works, that's not to be in a right standing with God. That's to be unrighteous before God yet, and that's to be in a very dangerous plight. That's bad news. Very bad news. So you and I ask the question, what is the gospel of good news? Specifically, it says in this verse, in Abraham, all the families of the earth would be blessed. All the families of the earth would be blessed. Well, what does that mean? That means whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, no one is saved by racial or ethnic identity. Genesis 1:26, we're all made in the image of God, and the ground is level at the cross. And we're all saved from sin and its guilt by Christ's cross work, and that alone. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Jesus said in John 12:32, if I be lifted up on the cross, I will draw all men to me. You see, that free offer of the gospel is for all of us and everyone in this room. We're all Gentiles. But it's for all the Gentiles and all the Jews. What we have to do is put faith then in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. And the lost, you see, they are responsible. They are responsible for their unbelief, their unrepentant sin, and their resulting damnation. Remember, and I can't emphasize it enough, to be justified by circumcision or any other work that you and I do is to nullify the work of grace, to nullify justification by faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone, and is another gospel. It is not the true gospel. Galatians 2:21, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if the righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. You see, you and I then, if we make it our works, what we have done is we've nullified the work of Christ, we charge God with cosmic child abuse, and we destroy the doctrine of justification. Turn with me, leave your finger there in Galatians chapter 3, but turn with me to Romans chapter 4. Now, Galatians is written in 49, Romans is written in the middle of the 50s AD, so we've got 6-7 years later. Paul is using the same argument in Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Romans 4, 1 through 5, reading from God's holy word. What then shall we say that Abraham our father is found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. Verse 5. But to him who does not work, but believes on Jesus who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Go back to Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 then is a summary that all that Paul is saying in this section, verses 6 through 9. Verse 9. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Here's positive proof from Scripture. All who depend on justification by faith and not works are placed with Abraham. He is our brother. He's the father in the faith. We are objects of God's blessing in Christ then through Abraham, who then was through his seed then points to Jesus, the Savior, the Lord himself. And you see, when we read verse 9 here, we see the doctrine of the communion of the saints. It was August 17th, 2016. R.C. Sproul was commenting on a teaching class he'd conducted on the book of Romans. And he taught from the book of Romans to them for 2 hours every week. And he taught for several months. So at the end of the class term, he turned to his students and he asked them, he said this question, why should God let you into heaven? Why should God let you into heaven? He said he was surprised by their answer. Most of them said they'd get into heaven because they lived a good life. In other words, they were answering him how? If they lived as a Judaizer, they'd get into heaven. R.C. said he was distressed and saddened. They were counting on their works, which Romans, Galatians, and the whole Bible, Old and New Testament, tells us is not the path to heaven, it's the path to hell. So what did he do? He went back and he reviewed the gospel with them again. He reminded them again of what he taught them for several months, for 2 hours every week, week after week. R.C. said, "No works of ours are good enough to merit salvation in heaven. Only the righteousness of Christ can redeem us. Salvation is by grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone." And then he uttered these surprising words. And these are words which you and I need to seriously apply to our own lives today. Listen closely. R.C. said this, "Wherever tempted to forget the gospel, none of us is immune. More than once, I have caught myself acting as if my right standing before God, that is, my justification, was based on my good works." I read that, and it was astonishing to me because I think very highly of R.C. Sproul. Friends, I realize this, and hopefully you do too, by God's Spirit. If a Christian man such as R.C. Sproul has that confession, how much more is that very statement applicable to all of us in all honesty before God? I have this saying in my study on the wall by A.W. Tozer, and he's right on. Listen, the temptation to make our relation to God judicial instead of personal is very strong. What does that mean? The temptation to make our relation to God judicial, like the Judaizers, salvation by works, my righteousness, my merit, instead of personal, saving faith like Abraham's, in Christ alone, by grace alone, by faith alone, that is very strong in all of us. The one manifests a dead faith. The other manifests a living faith. Are we justified by faith or works? Justification is by faith alone. That's proved by Abraham. And justification is by faith alone. That's proved by the Old Testament scripture. Earlier I mentioned the full pardon that William Herschel had received from King George of England. Here's the rest of the story. The document went on to say, not guilty, but it also said this: "For your outstanding service to humanity as a musician and a scientist, William Herschel, you are granted a knighthood." From that time on, Herschel was one of the King George's knights. He was honored throughout the United Kingdom as Sir William Herschel. Friends, when Herschel was justified, not only was he declared righteous, but he also became a friend of the king. So too with Abraham, friends. James 2:23 says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." We too can be called a friend of God and have a right standing before God. All that's required is faith in Jesus alone. As Abraham was justified by faith, so too for us. We do not have to become a Jew. We don't have to become circumcised. We don't have to obey the law of Moses to be in a right standing with God. We do not have to do anything but bring our sin to Jesus and believe in Jesus to receive his pardon and to inherit eternal life. Salvation is indeed by faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone. This is proved by spiritual experience. It's also proved by Scripture. And that's where God speaks truth. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word of truth. This is reality as revealed by you. These are facts. And dear Heavenly Father, we know there is only one way of salvation. It's exclusive. And that is by faith alone, grace alone, in Christ alone. Only through Jesus' finished cross work and his shed blood can we have forgiveness of sins. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we would not be sidetracked because we have a sin nature that still remains. We want to make our relation to you judicial instead of personal. We want to stand up and claim some merit on our own. I earn my salvation. I'm worried. Look at me. Rather than get in the dust before the cross, dear Heavenly Father, and realize I have nothing to bring but my sin. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, nothing in my hands I bring but my sin. Simply to the cross I cling. All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. For those who are not saved, dear Heavenly Father, there's the free offer of the gospel this day. Put their faith in Jesus. Be forgiven of sin. Know for certain where you will spend in eternity. And not to do so, dear Heavenly Father, you will treasure up wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. The wages of sin is death. A holy God will judge sin. And to be saved by works and not by Jesus, or to be saved by Jesus plus something else, is heresy. And we'll get nothing from Jesus, Lord Jesus, King Jesus, but condemnation, damnation, and hell. Dear Heavenly Father, may each of us be spiritually illumined, have spiritual understanding as to these eternal truths. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.